Okay, here we go. Okay, so Ve'ele HaMishpatim. So Rashi says, how come this parsha of Mishpatim, about Beis Din, is right after the Mizbeach? The end of Yisro is about the Mizbeach. Rashi says, Lo Marucha, Shetosim Sanhedrin, Eitzel HaMikdash. The Sanhedrin was located in the Beis HaMikdash, right next to the Azara. The Sanhedrin was in a room, half the room was in the Azara, and half the room wasn't in the Azara. You're not allowed to sit in the Azara unless you're a king from Melch Beis David. So they dafka was strange. They put the Beis Din HaGadol right next to the, if you go over too far, like you're sitting here, it's kosher, and you're sitting here, it's Naveva. Why'd they do that? Because, there are different reasons why, the Sanhedrin has to be right close to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the center, not just of Karbanos, but of Torah. And the Torah comes out of the Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Shechter always says that the Beis Din HaGadol had extra siyata d'shmaya. They're passing the heaviest shailas. Hashem wants to make sure that Am Yisrael is run correctly. So the body that's governing Am Yisrael, the Beis Din HaGadol, needs the super duper amount of siyata d'shmaya. So where do they sit? They sit literally as close to the Beis HaMikdash as they're allowed. They can't sit in the Beis HaMikdash. It's Azara. No one can sit in the Azara. Servants are working. They're working. They're standing. Everyone's working. No one sat in the Azara. Except for a Melech is allowed to sit in the Azara. So the Beis Din HaGadol sat right next to the Azara to symbolize, since they're governing Am Yisrael, they need a huge amount of Siyata D'Shmaya. That's a very nice idea. Okay. You're an Eved Ivri. So an Eved Ivri goes free after what?
We learned.
6 years, and then he decides he wants to stay longer till the oval. So what do? You put the in the ear.
Yeah.
What you put you bore the ear next. So why the ear? So why is the ear thing that they used for this symbol? So Ukan Rashi, Umara Ozen Laretza to be bored in. Mikol Shar Evarim Shabaguf, Marbech Menzakai. The Ozen heard, don't steal. And he went and stole. Why are you in Eved Ivri? In Eved Ivri, a guy steals. He can't afford to pay the money back. So he's stuck. He stole the money and used it, and he wasted it. So he has to sell himself into slavery in order to pay off his debt. So, as a message, listen, your ear heard low signal. You didn't listen to the Torah. You didn't listen. And yet, and you're staying longer as an Eved? So it's a Musar. Next time, don't steal. Or, you're not supposed to be an Eved. You're not supposed to hang around as an Eved for longer. Rashi says, it says, "Av kol b'nei Yisrael avadim." We're all servants. Who are we servants of? Hashem. And if you're a slave, who are you a servant of? You're a servant of this guy, who is a servant of Hashem. You're avadim to avadim. It's not good to be a slave. So the Torah is teaching you, you made a mistake in choosing to be a slave. That's a mistake. So the message to you that you made a mistake was that the ear that heard, don't become a slave to somebody else, you get bored through the ear. You got it? So two messages. One, don't steal, meaning listen to what the Torah says. And two, we're servants of Hashem. And we shouldn't, there's a deep idea. You don't want to limit your bechira chafshus. When you're a slave, you got to do what your master says all the time. The essence, this was the first words I said the whole year to our shir.
Make good choices.
Life's about making good choices. So when you limit your bechira chafshus, that's a bad thing. So Eved Ivris who choose to remain Eved Ivris are saying, no, I'll do what he's... No, you have to do what Hashem says. Life's about doing what Hashem says. Okay, so that's that. Next. Okay, here we have a vort. The Torah says that when you're married, you have to give your wife share, ksus viona. Share is food. Ksus is clothing. And what's ona? Ona means tashmi shamita, marital relations. That you have to have a certain amount of the marital relations per month. So what's interesting, this is Rav Shechter's vort. What's the word that the Torah uses for that part of marriage? Ona. What does ona mean literally? Time. Ah. So Rav Shechter always says, your wife wants your time. He discusses, you make time for your wife. Very important. You take walks. You give her time. She wants to discuss things. You have to listen. So the Torah chose, when the Torah is describing the most intimate part of marriage, the word the Torah uses is ona, as a message that this is a major part of marriage. You should know this major part of marriage is part of a broader thing that your wife wants your time. The deep idea. Your wife needs your time. You have to make, we discuss big rocks, little rocks, and listening to your wife and talking to your wife and listening to your wife is a major big rock. That's a big vort. Okay. Then there's a vort here that the Chafetz Chaim uses and Rav Shechter Shlita makes famous. Rashi refers to the Mushal HaKadmoni, a proverb of the old one, the ancient one, the proverb of Hashem. The proverb, meaning the something which Hashem in a sense said. The way Rashi went, something Hashem said, and the term that's used is Mushal HaKadmoni. It's a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. Okay, so this is a phrase. Mushal HaKadmoni, the proverb of the ancient one. So what is the proverb itself? So this is a famous thing that you have to know. Hashem runs the world. So here's what happens. Let's say you have a guy, he's climbing a ladder, and he slips off the ladder and kills someone by mistake. So the guy climbing the ladder, what does he have to do? He has to go into Golos. So that happens. It's a tragedy. So the background is as follows. The guy who was walking under the ladder, he once killed somebody, the mazed, but there weren't Adam. So he deserves what? He deserves to die. The guy who was climbing the ladder, last year, he killed someone in the forest, Bishoge, but there weren't Adam. So what does he deserve? Golus. So Hashem works it out that the guy that deserves Golus is going to be climbing the ladder. The guy that deserves to die is going to be walking under the ladder, and he falls on him and kills him by mistake in front of Adam. That's called the Mushal HaKadmoni. In other words, the message is Hashem works things out. That if you deserve Golus, you're going to get it. And if you deserve to be killed, you're going to get it. That's a deep idea. So when you hear about a tragedy, Lo'aleinu, so like Hashem has a plan for the world. Okay. So it means the Mushal written by Hashem. Okay. But there's another way to read this phrase. Not the Mushal written by Hashem, but Mushal HaKadmoni means the Torah. It's a Mushal of Hashem. That the Torah is considered a Mushal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. What does that mean? You're trying to explain a concept, and it's a hard concept, so you give a mushal. Oh, with this mushal, you can expand the concept. So Hashem is Hashem. He's beyond our understanding. So if you want to have some sort of understanding of Hashem, what do you have to do? You have to go into Torah. The Torah is Hashem's wisdom. The more you learn the Torah, the more you have some understanding of Hashem. And it, now, a mushal of Hashem would be impossible to understand. So Rav Shechter always says, the Torah is a mushal of a mushal of a mushal of a mushal. And this is the Chafetz Chaim's line. The Chafetz Chaim says that when you learn Torah, it's like you're seeing a photograph of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, there's a certain king, you never saw him. If you see a picture, so now when I see the real king, I know what he looks like. Right? When you see a picture of something, so that's a mushal of the person himself. Oh, now when I see him. So the Chafetz Chaim writes this, Rav Shechter always quotes this, that when you learn Torah, you're getting, in a sense, a picture of Hashem. Now, not a picture of Hashem, but like a picture of a picture of a picture of a picture of a picture. And that's the phrase, Mushal HaKadmoni, that when we're learning Torah, we're connecting with Hashem. This means when the Torah is Hashem's wisdom. So when we learn Torah, today we're going to learn about Shtar. We are thinking Hashem's thoughts. When you think Hashem's thoughts, you're connecting with Hashem. You have some sort of understanding of Hashem. I'm thinking the same thoughts as Hashem, Kavayachol. I have some understanding of Hashem. So the Torah is not just a mushal written by Hashem. It's a mushal, in a sense, a mushal, of Hashem. And that's a very, very deep idea. When we should know what we're doing when we learn Torah, we're doing big stuff. Next, Ayin Tachas Ayin. We had this already. This is in Perikuf Aleph. Ayin Tachas Ayin, an eye for an eye. If you knock somebody's eye out, you get your eye knocked out? What's the halacha?
No.
What do you do?
Money.
You give money instead.
No.
Some explain it literally, and the pshat is, the literal pshat means that it's as severe, that you deserve to lose your eye. No, in halacha, you never lost your eye. The reason why it's written that way is to show that you deserve to lose your eye. So the Vilna Gaon found Ramazim for things. So ayin tachas ayin. In other places it says ayin be'ayin, an eye for an eye. What does tachas mean? What does tachas mean?
Under.
So put the letters ayin yud nun. What are the letters under ayin yud nun? What's under an ayin? What's next? Under an ayin? Under an ayin. Next. After. What's under an ayin?
Pei.
What's under a yud? What's under a yud? Kaf. What's under a nun? Samach. Those letters spell kesef. You got it? In other words, we'll say it again. We got it again. Hello. Ayin pe ayin is eye for an eye. How come here the Torah says ayin tachas ayin? So the Gra says, a remez, that an eye under an eye. The Torah is giving you a remez. Look at the letters under the ayin. Pei, kuf, and samach. That spells kesef. So it's a remez that the Torah doesn't mean a literal eye, it means money. That's one of the Gra's... I may have told you, right? I told you, my Rebbe from high school, Rabbi Blech, that's was Nifter, Lalein, who was, we discussed this, right?
Yeah.
He died young, Lalein. So everyone knew him as an expert in kashrus. But that was after he got married. He moved to him, but before he got married, he was a Rebbe. And so I wrote a letter, Hamodiah is publishing it this week. That's big stuff. Ian Hamodiah. So we'll see. They said they're going to publish it. We'll see. That's a shame. So this was it. He introduced us to the Gra. I was in 10th grade, 11th grade, and we were so fascinated by the Gra. The Gra has a lot of words like this. It was a transformative experience. To be pulled, he would tell us Gra stories and tell us about the Gra and all these amazing things, and then he would tell us all these vorts. And should be an aliyah for his neshama. To talk about the Gra, and every time I quote the Gra, I think of Rav Blech, because you got us, he was so, just the way his class worked, in his parents' living room, he taught us. I left the part about, I told you, right? He was an older, unmarried guy, very relaxed. So there was learning, and there was also a dose of Kalus Rosh, which we needed, right? We were going to ball games still. So the Kalus Rosh was, after the learning ended, we took out the Washington Jewish Week. In the back, they have the ads, you know, the singles ads. Rebbe, SJF, single Jewish female, maybe she's for you. You know, started reading it. Now, that wasn't the most respectful thing to do. But he laughed at us, and he went with the flow, as people would say. And we needed that. So that paragraph didn't make it into Hamodiah. That paragraph with the single Jewish female want ads. In the Washington Jewish Week, didn't make it into the letter. That's not, but I wrote it to his family that they should, you know that he was so relaxed about it. Anyway, okay. You have to know something. When you learn this parsha, Perakov Dalet talks about Matan Torah. So Matan Torah in the Chumash is mentioned in two places. What's the main place?
Yisro.
And then it's also later, but Yisro and in Mishpatim. So what's happening in Perakov Dalet? So there's a huge machlokes, Rashi versus the Rambam. Rashi says Perakov Dalet, the first half, is before Matan Torah. Rashi says, look at the Rashi, Kav Dalet Aleph. Parashi Zunemar Kodem Matan Torah, the Arba Sivan. Rashi says Perakov Dalet happened on the fourth and fifth day of Sivan. So you have to take these 11 psukim and put them before Matan Torah. And the end of Perakov Dalet is after Matan. You with me? The Ramban learns the Chumash differently. The Ramban learns the Chumash is in order. By the way, in general, that's a big discussion. The Torah isn't always in order. Rashi puts the Torah out of order a lot. The Ramban, generally, tries to keep the Torah in order. The Ramban says the Chumash is in order, and the Ramban says Perakov Dalet is after Matan Torah. Okay? Why is that exciting? Because of a famous phrase, Perakov Dalet Pasuk Zayin, Naaseh V'Nishma. When did we say Naaseh V'Nishma? Before or after Matan Torah?
Before,
that's the whole point. So it's interesting. Don't tell your, first grade Mora, but Naaseh V'Nishma is before Matan Torah. According to the Ramban, we didn't actually say Naaseh V'Nishma until after Matan Torah. So there are many, 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 many midrashim would say that Nasa Vinishma came Bar Matan Torah, and that's how that's the standard pshat. That's how Rashi learns. But there are a couple of midrashim that put Nasa Vinishma after. So you should just be aware, Nasa Vinishma, that the Midrash talks about all of those midrashim, that we accept whatever Hashem says, we will do. What's Nasa Vinishma? I'll do what Hashem says even before I understand it. Hashem is smarter than I am. Hashem is perfect. Whatever Hashem tells me to do is good in Olam Ha, but it's good in Olam Hazeh. And blind acceptance, which makes sense. It's a rational thing to do. If you trust in Hashem, then it makes sense to accept whatever He says, in a sense, blindly.
Okay, so if Rashi holds that the first half of Perakaf Dalet took place on Dalet and Hey Sivan, you see, the first half of Perakaf Dalet, you have to say there were 2 days there, because in Pasuk, in Pasuk Dalet, the Torah says, Vayash came Babok, he woke up and he got up in the morning. So there were 2 days in the first half of Perak Kaf Dalet. Rashi says it was Dalet and Hey Sivan. The Ramban says it was before Matan Torah. The Ramban says it was Vav and Zayin Sivan after Matan Torah. Okay. Now Nasa Benishma is obviously a huge thing, and as I explained, since we know Hashem is good, He's the ultimate good, and we know Hashem is perfect, whatever Hashem tells us, it makes sense that we should do, even if we don't understand it yet. And that's the yesod of Nasa Benishma. The Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos quotes Nasa Benishma in the following context. The Mishnah says, whosoever actions are greater than his wisdom, then his wisdom will remain. Kol shemaisav meruba michachmasa. If your wisdom is greater than your actions, you ultimately lose your wisdom. In other words, if you learn, but you don't keep what you learn, so eventually it's not going to last, because it means you're not really learning the right way. You're not learning in order to keep the Torah. But if your maisim are greater than your actions, whoa, then your chachma will be miskayemas. So the obvious question is, how is it possible that your maisim are greater than your action, than your chachma? How can you do more than you know? That's a good question. So Rabbeinu Yonah there explains that if a person accepts upon himself to do something, but if a person says to himself, I will keep whatever I learn in the future, then he gets credit now as if he kept it already. And then when he actually learns the thing and begins keeping it, he gets credit again. So you get schar as if you did it even before you did it, even before you know it. Let's say a person says, I don't know all of the Hilchos Shabbos yet, but I'm accepting on myself now, I'll keep any new halacha I learn in Hilchos Shabbos, I'm going to keep. So if that's a sincere Kabbalah, then you get credit now as if you kept it already. And he says, and that's one shot of Nasa Benishma, that you get credit now as if you did it already. It's an amazing idea. That's the challenge, that we have to be Makabal on ourselves to do whatever we learn. Rav Shechter Shlita tells a story. In the summer, Rav Shechter often goes to Tannersville, to town up on Route 17, upstate New York. And he was learning there, and he learned, that's where he chazes a lot of Gemara quickly, and he was learning Maseches Menachos, and it has the Nyanei Mezuzah. And he mentioned that people make a mistake. People think that, let's say a person has 25 mezuzahs in his house, and he's going to a bungalow up in the mountains that needs 6 mezuzahs. So, and he's going to be there for the whole summer. So he'll take his mezuzahs from his house, take down 6 mezuzahs, and bring them to the bungalow colony. But you can't do that, he said, because your house at home needs mezuzahs the whole year. And also, your house at home needs mezuzahs the whole year. So Rav Shechter said he was giving a shiur, and then He sits at a picnic table. It's a long picnic table. So a few of the people notice that a certain guy this year had disappeared. He wasn't there. Disappeared. He wasn't there at night. The next morning at 12 o'clock, he's back. They said, "What happened to you? Where'd you go?" He said, "Well, I was in the Shir Rebbe, as you were saying that, I said, oh, that's what I do. I always take down my mezuzahs, bring them up to the mountains. So I left the Shir to go back to New York City to buy mezuzahs for my house. I didn't trust my friends to get the ones that I wanted." That is Nasa Benishma. That's, Rav Shechter calls that, that's a good barometer of Yiras Shamayim, that a person accepts upon himself to keep whatever he learns. So this guy rushed out of the Shir to go buy the mezuzah. So that person received full credit for keeping everything, even before he keeps it. Because if you accept upon yourself to do whatever you keep, Rav Shechter, to do whatever you learn, Rav Shechter calls that a good barometer of Yiras Shamayim, and that's one explanation of Nasa Benishma. Okay, let's just complete Perek Avdal, then we'll go back to what we had before. There's a very famous pasuk in Yirav, Vayechazu as halkim vayochu vayishtu. They viewed Hashem, and they ate and drank. Our school translates it, yet they ate and drank. That's following Rashi. So Rashi holds, this is Narav and Aviyu and the Zakenim. So Rashi holds that what happened here was very negative. They were chay of Misa. Rashi says, they looked at Hashem with too much familiarity while eating and drinking. That's what the Medrash says. In other words, if you're having a vision of Hashem, you should be standing at attention, eating, too relaxed in front of Hashem. That's not what a person is supposed to do in a vision of Hashem. And Rashi says they were chay of Misa for this. Okay, that's Rashi's pshat. The Ramban here says something very different. The Ramban says that one is supposed to celebrate when he completes a mitzvah or makes a siyum on the Torah. The Ramban quotes many examples of the idea that one is supposed to. And the Ramban says there's a mitzvah to be masameach begamra shel Torah. And he quotes the Medrash that this is one of the sources for making a siyum. You make a siyum, there's a simcha when you make a siyum. This is a big topic actually. The Gemara says that there's a special chiyuv to have a suda on Shavuos, even more than Pesach and Sukkos. Why? The Gemara says, Yom Shenitna BaTorah. Since the Torah was given on Shavuos, therefore, there's a special obligation to eat and drink. That's what the Gemara says. So my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita always quotes that the original source for that Gemara is this Ramban, this Pasuk. The way the Ramban reads the Pasuk, this Pasuk is the mucker for the idea to make a simcha, Bizman Matan Torah, a physical simcha. Oh, what's the hashkafic message of that? So there are different explanations. One simple explanation is that the purpose of the Torah is to apply it here in the physical world. We live in a physical world, eating and drinking, and we have to use the Torah here in the physical world. So in order to show that idea, that's what the Torah is all about, we bedafka eat and drink and celebrate Bizman Matan Torah. That's one idea. The other idea is, Rav Nevensal Shlita always says the second way. He quotes from the Rishonim to show that we're happy. We're happy to get the Torah. The Torah is the greatest gift of all time. So the way to express that you're besimcha is by eating and drinking. So to show that we're happy to get the Torah, if you look in Rabbeinu David in Pesachim there on Daf Samaches, he says this explicitly. Rashi there in Pesachim and Daf Samaches sort of says this approach. So that's the idea. So this is the famous Ramban. The Ramban argues on Rashi. So the question is, what's pshat with Rashi? L'chor Rashi agrees you're supposed to make a celebration of his Matan Matan Torah. Rashi understands there's a special chiyuv of eating, the Gemara says, eating on Shavuos, making a seum, other examples the Ramban gives. And this is very interesting, there's a whole big discussion in Parshas Yisro about did Yisro come before Matan Torah, after Matan Torah. And there's a pasuk in Yisro, Perek Yud Ches, pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayimi Mocharas, the next day. So there's a whole question how to explain that. So Rashi interprets Mocharas means Mocharas Yom Kippur, the day after Yom Kippur, which means that the previous day was Yom Kippur. So in pasuk Yud Beis, it says they ate a meal. B'chol Zikne Yisro Lecho Lechem Yim Chosein Moshe. So according to Rashi, the simple pshat of the Chumash is that B'nai Yisrael ate and drank on Yom Kippur in that first Yom Kippur in Har Sinai in the Midbar. But how'd they do that? So the Ramban raises that question. So one possible answer the Ramban mentions is maybe they didn't have the mitzvah of Yom Kippur yet. In other words, they had heard the Aseres HaDibros, but the mitzvah of Yom Kippur they didn't hear until Moshe came down. After Moshe came down with the Luchos on Yom Kippur. That's one possibility. Okay. But there's another answer. The Mizrahi there in Shmos, Perek Yuches, Pasuk Yud Gimel says that the reason why they ate Bizman Matan Torah was Yom Kippur was a Yom Matan Torah. That's the day Moshe brought down the Luchos. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says at the end of Tainus, Yom Kippur is a Yom Matan Torah. And therefore, they were allowed to eat. And the Mizrahi quotes from the Psukim that when they built the Beis HaMikdash, the Psukim said Shlomo made a 2-week party and the second week was Sukkos. So that means that the previous week had Yom Kippur in it. So it comes out when Shlomo HaMelech dedicated the Beis HaMikdash, they ate on Yom Kippur that year. So the Gemara in Moed Katan raises this question, Daf Tes, and the Gemara says that the mitzvah to celebrate the building of the Beis HaMikdash overrides Yom Kippur. That's what the Gemara says. So the Mizrahi says, Kal v'chomer, the day of Kabbalah's HaTorah, of bringing the Luchos down. So what do you see from there? That Rashi agrees to the Ramban's principle that you're supposed to celebrate Bizman Matan Torah. Oh, so now we have a question. If Rashi agrees to the Ramban's principle, how come Rashi here says that what they did was wrong? Why doesn't Rashi go like the Ramban? Here there are two approaches. One approach I heard from Rav Shechter Shlita and Rav Nevin Sal Shlita is that eating and drinking was okay, but it was the way they ate. Mistaklim bo belev gas achilu v'shtia. They were too relaxed. It wasn't that they ate, but it was the way they ate and drank. They were relaxed. You know, you can imagine you're sitting on a couch, relaxed, leaning back, and a gadol walks in. You keep on eating. What? You have to sit up straight at the table in a proper way. So it's not that they ate that they were punished for, but the way they ate. That's one way to explain Rashi. The other way is to say as follows. It could be Rashi is l'shitaso. According to the Ramban, at this point, at this pasuk already, B'nai Yisrael had received the Torah. This pasuk happened on Zion Sivan after Matan Torah. But as we said a few minutes ago, Rashi holds this pasuk happened on Hay Sivan, before Matan Torah. On Hay Sivan, before Matan Torah. And it could be for Rashi, yeah. When you receive the Torah, you celebrate physically, but Hachana, preparation for Matan Torah, no, that has to be with Ruchnius and preparing yourself with a lot of ruchnius, as B'nai Yisrael did. So it could be the reason why Rashi agrees with Ramban's principle. But he holds that there was no Matan Torah yet, and that's why it was wrong for them to eat and drink.